Senate will please come to order. Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, February 20, 2018, message number 4. Mr. President, this is to inform you that the House has amended the House rules of the 64th Wyoming State Legislature budget session with the following amendments, dispensing with the reading. February 20, 2018, message number 126. Mr. President, the following bills passed the House in an amended form. House Bill number 8, Stalking Revisions, ayes 54, noes 6. Message number 127. Mr. President, House Bill number 101, Electronic Corporate Records, passed the House, ayes 60. The following bills passed the House on a third reading vote. Message number 123, House Bill number 76, Supplemental Security Income Program, ayes 55, noes 5. Message number 124, House Bill number 88, State Construction Department Amendments, ayes 59, noes 1. Message number 125, House Bill number 126, Limited Liability Companies Series, ayes 57, noes 3. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
February 19, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom is referred Senate File 121, State-Funded Capital Construction 2, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 12, to whom is referred Senate File 67, Wyoming Public Lands Day, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Bebout, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom is referred Senate File 113, Community Development Districts, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. No, Senator Case. Senator Case, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, with that order of business, reconsidering bills, and continuing bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I make that motion, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate and staff members. At least for members of the Senate, transportation for Larry Hoopman's funeral tomorrow, transportation has been arranged. And so two of Visit Cheyenne's trolleys will pick up senators and staff in front of the Jonah Building tomorrow at 9:30. And so you're encouraged to ride that. Parking's very limited over at the funeral home, so there'll be two buses out here. We can jump on at 9:30. They'll go over there, be there for the service, and then leave shortly after the service and bring us back. So that transportation's been arranged so that you don't necessarily have to go over there, and you'll have trouble parking over there in any event. And then we'll return back. And also, we've also arranged with the lunch staff, Mr. President and members, that Bill and Linda will have lunch ready for you right after the funeral. So if you come back, when you come back here, because hopefully we'll be drifting back in here between 11 and 11:30, lunch will already be ready, and so you can come back here and they'll have it ready to go, and you can get off to your committee meetings or other arrangements that you've got. Remember, we'll be coming back in tomorrow at 1:30. Thank you, Mr. President.
Go ahead with your motion.
Mr. President, with that, I would move that the committee resolve, that the Senate resolve itself back into committee of the whole for further continuation of bills on general file.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Wasserberger.
Re-resolve. Thank you, Mr. President. Next bill. Committee of the whole will please come to order. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 69, 2018 Large Project Funding, an act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, sponsored by the National Resource Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senator Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Yeah, I just wandered in and hasn't gone in.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Head of the whole Robinson Report to do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 69, 2018 Large Project Funding. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you refer to Senator Boner.
Senator Boner.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, what you have before you is Senate File 69. This covers the large projects for the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. Just as a reminder, these large projects are the ones which we trust only contributes $200,000 or more over. This year we have eight projects for your consideration. Overall, they spent about $3,927,500 spread over the 19 and 20 state fiscal year. As a reminder, these projects are thoroughly vetted by a highly effective board of volunteers. They've been vetted by your Select Committee on Natural Resource Funding and by through the Appropriations Committee as well. And just as a reminder, this is to help protect fish and wildlife. This is to protect things that we hold dear, and it's another arrow in our quiver, if you will, to help with be proactive against potential endangered species listings. So overall, we have four projects which remove invasive species. We have three conservation easements and one fish passage project for cutthroat trout. So you should have some handouts on your desk that go over these projects in detail. So we'll just go ahead and step through that and step through the building process. The first project is in Carbon County. It's the Conduct Project. Overall cost is a little over $7.5 million. Its prime sponsor is Stock Growers Land Trust. The grant is $1.5 million, so the ratio, for every $1 we have, we're leveraging about $5 and other funds through other agencies. This is important because it prevents habitat fragmentation, especially in the sage-grouse core area. Remember how important it is to prevent those endangered species listings. Also, a major wintering and migration route for mule deer and elk. It's at high risk of fragmentation of the habitat and of residential development. Next project is an invasive species removal project in Bates Hole Juniper. That's in Natrona County, sponsored by the BLM. Overall cost, a little over $500,000. The grant is $200,000 on the dot here. So for every dollar of trust assets going towards this project, we're leveraging about $2.80. So this, once again, the removal of invasive species to enhance habitat for mule deer, sage grouse, other types of grassland species. And so, like I said, this is high leverage. This is good for habitat to remove those invasive species. Approximately 10,000 acres of direct treatment with additional 20,000 of benefit. The next project is another invasive species removal project sponsored by the Game and Fish Department. This is in Weston County, the Stockade Beaver Project. The overall cost is just under $500,000. Once again, the grant here in this case is $200,000. So that's for every dollar we spend, that's about $2.25 worth of project that we have. This is going to help out with habitat for mule deer, turkey, elk, other types of grassland, shrubland species. About 3,000 acres of direct treatment. Next project is a Bowsman project in Sublette County, once again sponsored by the Stock Growers Land Trust. Overall cost of a little over $1.8 million. Our grant proposed here is $450,000. So for every dollar worth of trust money, we leverage about $4.17. Once again, this is an area where there's a high risk of residential development. Once again, very importantly, this is a greater sage-grouse core area. Also major wintering migration routes for mule deer, moose, and elk. The next project is Green Mountain Aspen Project, another invasive species habitat type project in Fremont County, sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. cost here is just a little under $500,000 for the whole project. Once again, we have $200,000 worth of funds from this account going to this project. So once again, we're removing invasive species, and it has habitat, mule deer, elk, other types of species, about 1,000 acres of direct treatment, $9,000 acres of additional benefit. The next project is South Pass Aspen, another Aspen project by the Game and Fish Department of Fremont County. Overall cost is $635,000. The grant here in this case is $250,000. So for every dollar of grant money, there's about $2.50 worth of leveraged funds. And once again, this is removing invasive species, make sure that those aspen groves are nice and healthy, enhances habitat for mule deer, sage grouse, elk, about 1,100 acres of direct treatment with more than 4,000 additional acres of benefit. Another project is the Prospect Land and Cattle Company project, sponsored by the Nature Conservancy in Hot Springs County. Overall cost is a little over $3.1 million. The grant in this case is just less than $800,000. So for every dollar worth of grant funds we spend a little less than $4, or we leverage a little less than $4 in other funds. Once again, we have an area that is a major wintering migration route for mule deer and elk. Once again, another sage-grouse core area, and it's at a moderate risk for residential development. And finally, the last project is in Sheridan County, sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, a little over $728,000. For overall project costs, our grant here is proposed is $328,000. This is for cutthroat trout habitat, whatever it may be, so that they can actually get up there higher up in the streams so they can spawn properly, and it increases the population of that native cutthroat trout, which is being discussed. It precludes a listing under the Endangered Species Act. So that's very important. They have access to the spawning and juvenile rearing areas, stay away from predators that way. And like I said, very important to make sure we maintain a robust population of cutthroat trout. So that's the basics of the large projects for our proposed for this year. I'd certainly be willing to answer any questions.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, project on Bates Creek was mentioned, and as you all know, I ranch on Bates Creek. I wanted to assure the Senate that none of this project is going to take place on our ranch. I don't feel I have any conflict, will gain or lose anything from this, so I do not have a conflict on this. But you all know I come from Bates Creek, so I thought I'd better make that statement, Mr. Chairman. And I would say, Mr. Chairman, I think the invasive species being destroyed here are in part juniper and sagebrush, and that does benefit the wildlife because as we have suppressed fire for all kinds of reasons, Mr. Chairman, we've allowed these stands to develop into more uniform, mature stands than they otherwise would have been naturally. And the sage grouse in particular benefits from having multiple ages of sagebrush in its range and will benefit from having the younger sagebrush that will come in after these fires. So it will be beneficial to sagebrush, and by the fact, we're going to burn a fair amount of it.
Are you ready for the question, Senator Agar?
Mr. Chairman, as a member of Prospect Land and Cattle, I am going to declare a conflict on this bill.
So noted, Senator. Are you ready for the question, Senator Bebout?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question of the sponsor. You know, this is a $100 million trust fund, and obviously we utilize the interest. In the past, we've used general fund money. No general fund money, as I understand the appropriation side of it. How much money is in the reserve accounts in that fund that could be there to be appropriated in the future? Or do we essentially spend all the income for this biennial budget and the rest of fiscal year 2018?
Senator Boner.
Thank
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the question. We can drill down, get the exact numbers as to how much, how many funds we have available in the reserve account, how much have been obligated, to give you a rough estimate. My recollection that we currently have about $32 million in the reserve account, and maybe about 25 of that has been obligated. So I can drill down and get those specific figures for that.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While you're drilling down in that particular area, too, you know, I think most of that's in the pooled income accounts that the state treasurer manages. I'm wondering if any of that money in the fund itself, you know, we passed a constitutional amendment, if they're broadening the investment to get a higher rate of return, or if he's keeping that pretty much in liquid cash, just to give us an idea, and then what the internal rate of return is. You know, there's been some good discussion about how low our interest rate and our return has been on investments. I'd be curious what that is, too.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely, we can get that those specifics. I can tell you that when we're discussing the Constitutional Amendment A from last election cycle, that these funds were kind of the poster child of those funds that could generate a greater return. So, and answering broadly, they absolutely have been used to generate greater return, but we can find out the exact rate of return and get that information.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that went with the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with favorable recommendation. Senate File 69 do pass. Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 69 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 80. Would Senator Agar.
May I have privilege to the floor?
Yes, you may.
Mr. Chairman, today in the gallery we have the Basin Christian School. Their 7th and 8th grade classes, they drove all the way down from Basin today and braved the roads to watch the process work, so I just ask that we welcome them.
Welcome to the Senate. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 80. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 80, Vulnerable Adults, an Act Relating to Public Health and Safety, sponsored by Senator Nethercott, was referred to Committee No. 1, Judiciary, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole stand and report, I do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 80, Vulnerable Adults, and to present this bill will be Senator Nethercott.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a standing committee amendment, and if I could have that read in.
Senate File 80, Standing Committee Amendment No. 1, page 2, line 6.
Thank you, Senators. You have before you Senate File 80. The definition for vulnerable adults has been expanded in this bill. As previously mentioned, the Governor's Task Force on Elder and Vulnerable Abuse, which was formed in February of 16, released a list of 7 recommendations, and this is one of those 7 recommendations and a culmination of their work. The work was done by a group of stakeholders from finance and banking to nursing homes and health care and attorneys specializing in elder law, as well as our state agencies that deal with this particular issue as well. So when we look at the bill, the definition of vulnerable adult has been expanded and clarified with greater specificity. As we look there, the first paragraph has been added to and changed to read that a vulnerable adult means any person 18 years of age or older who lacks the capacity to consent or who is unable to provide for his own care or protect himself from abuse, neglect, exploitation, intimidation, abandonment, or self-neglect. And the Standing Committee Amendment changes the word.
Senator Nethercott, would you move the Standing Committee Amendment at this time, please?
Yes, I would. I move Standing Committee Amendment No. 1 to Senate File 80.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the Standing Committee Amendment, as mentioned, addresses lines 6 and 7, and it changes the words as a result of and replaces them with and has any of the following. The purpose of that amendment is to provide just clarity to the reader of the bill. And then, as you can see, the specific requirements associated with being a vulnerable adult, I stress to the body that these particular four characteristics also must be incorporated into the first paragraph of Romanet 18. And so those are to be read together. And one of those characteristics that you see in the subparagraphs is not to be read alone, but in together with Romanet 18. So with that, I'd ask for your favorable consideration of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 80 and ask for your favorable consideration as to that amendment. And stand for question.
Question. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 80, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
And I'd stand for questions on the bill.
We are back on the bill. Question on the bill being called. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 80, do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 80 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 112. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 112, Retirement Center and Pioneer Home, an act relating to state institutions, sponsored by the Joint Appropriations Committee, was referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Landon. No, Senator Hastert. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 12. There are no standing committee. Oh, yes, there is a standing committee amendment, which I would like to have read in right now, please.
Senate File 112, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 13.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the bill and move the standing committee amendment, and for a further explanation of both, I ask that you call on Senator Dockstader.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill addresses the transfer of the Baseman Retirement Center and the Thermopolis Pioneer Home to private entities, selling it or leasing it in either case. Essentially, as noted in the legislation, these facilities, although very, very good facilities, are no longer meeting the Health Department's objectives. It's part of the overall Health Department system. Do these fit into what they need? And what we found through public meetings, through years of taking a look at it, that it's probably time to reconsider what we're doing with these facilities. Any sale or lease would be directed to the general fund under the bill. And essentially, this is the picture's changed, folks, for our residents that have lived there. This is the Pioneer Home. Was the idea came along in the late 1940s, and then it was constructed in the 1950s, kind of a catch net for our aged folks around the state. It did a good job for many years. And then in regards to the Basin Home, that actually started out as clear back into the 1920s, 1924, as the Wyoming Tuberculosis Sanitarium. And then in 1969, it was repurposed as a state-run nursing home. So, members of the Senate, not an easy thing to do, but it was time to kind of take a look at what we're doing here with the Health Department and these facilities. We looked for a little softer approach to doing it, spreading it out a little bit, and maybe it's a good time to have the chairman. Would you like to explain the amendment, please? Chairman Burns?
Senator Burns, we are on the standing committee amendment.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I thought the good senator from Star Valley was going to explain the standing committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, the standing committee amendment, page 3, line 13, and when they asked, we had some locals testify, including some local legislators testify on this, and they asked for, they were concerned about that language said established state institution may cease. So instead, we substituted language that says, in the amendment, instead of may cease, may be transferred no later than 4 years after the department's finding to another health care provider in the area. And that's been the tradition as it's very rare, frankly, that an assisted living facility or a nursing home actually closes. They're usually assumed or bought out by others in the private sector, and that's frankly, one of the things that we're looking at here. So with that, I would actually ask, unless there are any questions, I'd ask for a vote on the Standing Committee Amendment.
We're on Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 112. Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 112, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are back on the bill. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the bill notes, November 1st, 2018, I know there's efforts in the works to maybe soften that a little bit, but in the meantime, we're moving forward. And I'd bring your attention to the fiscal note. The Wyoming Retirement Center currently operates on a break-even basis, with the exception of major maintenance. That was $284,000. Wyoming Pioneer Home operates with an annual state general fund subsidy of approximately $1.3 million, which is about 60% of its total cost. So there you have it. With that, ask for your approval.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this bill is a symptom of the depth of the financial trouble the state is in and the need to get our spending under control. It's going to be hard on the residents in there. It's going to be hard on the communities. Private sector won't be nearly as generous as the state is, I suspect. And I think it's going to be the Pioneer Homes going to eventually give us a very tough decision, because I don't know whether we can sell it or lease it or not. It was really a pioneer in the whole concept of assisted living before there was such, and originally served quite a statewide purpose because of that. And it simply is going to have difficulty competing with any of the modern assisted living facilities that have sprung up across the state. So it's a tough decision, but I think we ought to support what the Appropriations Committee is doing. It's something that I'm afraid is unfortunately necessary to get our spending in balance with our revenue.
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to thank the committee that worked the bill for the amendment they brought, stretching out that timeline. But on and against the bill, Mr. Chairman, I want to tell the body how pivotal these facilities are to the communities that they operate in, Mr. Chairman. They're a center point of both communities. And quite frankly, it's the very small ability of the Bighorn Basin to take part in the state infrastructure. And so I just ask for your no vote on this bill. Thank you.
Senator Coe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm a little bit confused with the bill, because for some reason I thought it talked about study in this situation first, because if you look at the bottom of page 2, paragraph E, it says, notwithstanding any other provisions of law and subject to the approval of the governor, upon a finding by the Department of Health that a state institution established under paragraph whatever it is of this section no longer serves as a necessary means of meeting the objectives. So if the Department of Health has to have a finding, what are we doing here? Are we going to wait till they determine and find out that maybe we don't need these two institutions, or how are they going to proceed? My understanding was they were going to study it and look into it first. Would somebody correct me if I'm wrong?
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Echoing some of the sentiments of the good senators from the area where I'm from, this is a tough decision. And I understand the purpose and the reason. We don't have many state facilities up in our area. In fact, you're talking about the only two we have. So it is a pretty serious concern for us. The purpose of these facilities have changed over the years, certainly. I would agree with that. But if you've ever been to the facility in Basin, you would know that there are some residents in there that would certainly not be welcome in any other retirement home in the state. There's a reason for a big fence around a portion of that building. So it still serves an important purpose there. Some of these residents would not be accepted in the nursing home for perhaps in Lovell because of the conditions that exist in their particular case. Some are violent. Some are, might be sex offenders. We had a situation in our nursing home in our area a sex offender in a nursing home. Two of our residents were attacked and violated, and it didn't go very well with the families, as you can well imagine. So it still serves a purpose. These homes still serve a purpose. There's, don't fool yourselves in thinking that it's just a nursing home, because it is not. There are residents in there that could be transferred to nursing homes, but there are residents that will have nowhere else to go if it is deemed to be transferred to a private industry or a private business. And I guess my question, and I'm sure it was discussed in the committee, but we did this not too many years ago. The effort was to look at privatization, and it was somewhat called off, I believe. But if the figures are true, that we are losing 1.2 million and or a half a million, I don't know if a private business that's really going to step up and volunteer to take a loss. It defies the purpose of private sector and private business for profit. So what's going to happen is you're going to have a rate increase. And, of course, we say, well, that's not going to put anybody out on the street. Well, how big is that rate increase going to be? Can these families afford that? And I would assume that probably there will be a number of people that will not have many other options but to go somewhere else. And so therein lies my question, is some of these people that are not welcome in other nursing homes because of their situation, where will they go? Can't afford it. Can't afford to stay there because the rates have increased. And so there is still a purpose for these homes up in the basin. And one final thought, Mr. Chairman, is if this privatization is such a good deal, we ought to continue it on with all of our state-run facilities. Corrections. Let's take a look at corrections. Let's privatize that. States are doing that. So, just a thought, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I was representing that area, I might be trying to make some of these same arguments. But the fact is, and the good senator from Bates Creek is correct, when the Pioneer Home was started, it was cutting edge. The idea of assisted living was not recognized in many, many other places in the nation. But the fact is, there are now assisted living institutions all over our state and all over the nation. So the first question you ask is, why is the state in the assisted living business in the first place? Second question you ask is, why are their rates so much lower than in the private sector? And in fact, they are. That's why they're losing $1.3 million a year. First of all, this bill is going to do is study. This bill is not a final decider. That's still going to be up to a future legislature. So the idea of voting against looking at this, the idea of voting against studying it, makes no sense to me. Let's study it. Let's take a look at it. Then let's make a final decision of what to do. Some private companies testify in front of us. They're interested in it. They're actually more interested in the Pioneer Home than they are in the retirement home in Basin. And the retirement home, we're pretty close to breaking even on that. However, that doesn't include the major maintenance on it. And there's recently been a great remodel of that facility. It's as nice as any I've ever seen. And what they were especially afraid of there, frankly, was the landscaping, because it's so nice. The question is, what are those people in that part of the state going to do? They're going to do what everybody else in the state does. There are nursing homes. There are other nursing homes already in Thermopolis. There are other nursing homes already in the basin, private. They're going to be in the same. The worst that can happen is they'll be in the same position everybody else in the state is.
Senator Dockstader. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good discussion. Maybe a little follow-up and clarification. Does require a report as we launch into this. So to my good senator from over in Cody, we're looking at it. We're studying it. We're believe me, we've studied this now back for 4 years.
I was part of a task force that went up there and first launched the work into the discussion of both facilities. And then Committee 10 has been up there since, holding more meetings. Both groups held public meetings in and around the communities there to get feedback. So this is not a first blush on anything. This is definitely something we've been working on now for some time. And I understand the situation, too. If I lived there, I'd stand up and say, wait a minute, hang on, because that's, you want to take care of your areas. Understand that completely, and that's why I think we look for a little softer landing as we go here. You know, as far as that $1.3 million, looking at privatization and all of that, you know, I think that $1.3 million that the state is spending up there now can be, we can take a closer look at it. If privatization is something that's good not only for this or for the other situations like corrections, sounds like a good project for committee too to get started on. Let's look at saving the state some money. Folks, this is nothing new. We've been working on it for quite some time. This is just bringing it in closer and making sure that we get it done, that we answer the situation that's out there. If we're going to provide these types of facilities up there, then we should probably look at providing them around the rest of the state. And if that's not the case, we've got to reconsider what we're doing there. I would submit to the body, we've got the retirement center thing figured out a lot different than we did back in the 1940s and 50s. In my area, I've got two private facilities, one that's tied in with a hospital district, all three doing well. And so I'd ask for your approval of the bill.
Are you ready? Senator Dianne Selmy Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only question, I just was trying to kind of do a financial picture of this. I mean, I agree that these people shouldn't be ousted, but I'd like to see them have a soft landing. But how many people live in the home in Thermopolis and Basin, and how many people are employed by the entities as well?
Senator Doxton.
Mr. Chairman, I've got that back at another desk, but your neighbor right next to you might be able to answer that for you.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of points that I think need to be followed up on. If the rates of these facilities are so inexpensive, then that's a poor business model. And we ought to be looking at a better business model, perhaps, revisit that a little bit, if those rates are not competitive with surrounding facilities. And just a note on those surrounding facilities, I can speak for two of them, that we have one in Basin and one in Lovell, those nursing homes. They're full capacity. So, again, where are they going to go? Across the mountain? You know, another 100 miles away from family and friends? And so those are the concerns. Those are the realistic concerns. It's a hard decision. I don't oppose this particular effort to look into it, but I don't think the results are going to change much. I don't think a private business is going to be looking at money losers. I think the reason that they're looking at the one in Thermopolis is the size, perhaps more doable for a private industry. But again, definite concerns with this motivation and this bill. And I applaud the committee's efforts. I don't begrudge them at all their efforts and what they're looking into and the hard decisions that we have to face here as a state. But again, I would echo that let's stop here. Let's look at privatization of other things too.
Are you ready for the question, Senator Christensen?
Dump all we can.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I hear the questions kind of going around in the different issues, one of the things that came to mind is I look at these numbers and we invest a lot in jobs and starting new businesses. And I wonder if these folks have had the opportunity and the encouragement and support to look at streamlining and being able to pay more of their way and keep their jobs in those communities. When you see a major employer, and I think it's around 70 jobs down at Pioneer, and to change that, are they able to hold on to those jobs? Do they still have them, or does that become a major hit to a community that's already struggling? And I guess I'd be cautious about this one, folks. I don't know what the answer is, but there are certainly a lot of questions in this room about a bill that could have significant impact on a small community.
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can get the exact numbers for the number of employees and the number of beds in both facilities. I can't tell you the facilities are operating at capacity right now. And the other thing we do not have an issue with, especially at the Pioneer Home, is we hear about the problem finding skilled staff to run these facilities. That has not been a problem in Thermopolis. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that I do so with a favorable recommendation. Senate File 112 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Senate File 112. Division being called. All those in favor. So, okay, so Senate File 112 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Division.
Thank you. Division being called. All those in favor of Senate File 112, please stand. Senate File 1, all those opposed, please stand. Senate File 112 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for Arkansas.
You gotta count.
Okay, count them.
I like the way you're running the chair. Keep it up.
Senate File 112 has passed Committee of the Whole.
What was the numbers?
She said them. The vote is Senate 17 aye, 11 no. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 116. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 116, Retirement Income Security Task Force 2, sponsored by Senator Anderson, an act relating to the administration of government, was referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Landon. No, Senator Hastert. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 116, Retirement Income Security Task Force 2. There is a standing committee amendment on this bill, and I would ask that it be read in now.
Senate File 116, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 4.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment as well as the bill, and for further explanation, I ask that you call on Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Mr. Chairman, to present Senate File 116 to you. You might notice on the bill that I am simply signed on, and the primary sponsor, I think, will look forward to some opportunity to visit with you as well. Having been more closely involved with this bill because of the committee action that was just alluded to, and also because of some work that I'm going to suggest to you in a minute, Mr. Chairman, I'll lead you into the bill. You might remember upon introduction, fellow senators, this is the Wyoming Retirement Security Task Force bill, which is the result in part of a Department of Health long-term care study that was released last year, October of 2017. And you might recall when the sponsor introduced this bill, Mr. Chairman, he talked about the fact that the average household in Wyoming has approximately $2,500 saved for retirement. The average household that is near retirement has only about $14,000 in savings. And so really the premise of putting a task force together, Mr. Chairman, is to take a look and provide us with an honest, hard look at what we have out there. And we think that that will provide some valuable information by fall as to what we might want to do policy-wise. Mr. Chairman, there are some very interesting and innovative things going on out across the country with respect to this problem that I just outlined, including public and private partnerships that can benefit small business. And as you know, in Wyoming, we are small business. That's a quick and dirty overview of what we are going to be expecting out of the task force, Mr. Chairman, but I'd like to turn your attention to that standing committee amendment that was read in. To give you an idea of what the Appropriations Committee did, if you look on the amendment, page 2, line 2, we come in and we change the reference of one of those committee members, one of those task force members, from the Department of Health to the Department of Workforce Services. On line 21, down a little bit lower on that page, we add one member of the Wyoming Senate, one member of the Wyoming House. We thought it was important that we have a connection with the legislature, given the fact that we may have some policy sorts of issues that we may want to bring forth into the legislative session. If you go to Mr. Chairman, page 5, the bill arrived to appropriations without any money to affect the work. And so what the Appropriations Committee did was to insert some funding so that the task force can accomplish what we're asking them to do. And so in the standing committee amendment, that includes $14,000 for the legislative effort and $26,000 in paragraph B, which would fund the state treasurer's office and thereby take care of the rest of the task force members. That's the gist of the standing committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, I would be happy to answer any questions or just call for a question on the standing committee amendment.
Question being called. All those in favor of standing committee amendment to number 1 to Senate File 116, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 116 has passed committee of the whole. The next, we are back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. There is a committee of the whole amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 116, committee of the whole amendment number 1, page 2, line 13.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would move the committee of the whole amendment number 1 to Senate File 116. And by way of explanation, fellow senators, as I exited the Appropriations Committee after reviewing this bill, I gave it quite a bit of thought. And it was my opinion, Mr. Chairman, that it needed a little bit of further fine-tuning. And one of the things that we did in the Committee of the Whole Amendment, or that I am suggesting, is that we add to the committee the chairman of the state retirement board or his designee. And if you go to page 2, line 13, first of all, Mr. Chairman, we take two representatives from business and insert one. So we take that person, we drop one position, and then we add the position of the chairman of the state retirement board or his designee. Further down in the committee of the whole amendment, senators, I felt like this was an effort that we could accomplish in 1 year. You'll notice that I put a date on there of let's get this work done by December 1st of this year, thereby allowing us to divide in half what the appropriation would be. So you notice a $7,000 figure on line 21, beginning line 21. In the second paragraph of the committee of the whole amendment, we reduced that appropriation, Mr. Chairman, down to $13,000. And then we... in order to get the work done this year, we had to have an effective immediate line on page 6, line 1. Mr. Chairman, that's the gist of the committee of the whole amendment. Again, I'd be happy to answer questions, or I would call for the question on the committee of the whole amendment.
We're on committee of the whole amendment number 1 to Senate File 116. Are you ready for the question?
Right.
Question being called. All those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number 1 to Senate File 116, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Committee of the whole amendment number 1 to Senate File 116 has passed committee of the whole. We are back on the bill. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I've taken plenty of your time this afternoon. I would like to, recess for now and allow for perhaps the prime sponsor would like to say a few words about this bill. I think it's a good effort that might net some good results. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to say a few words about this
Income Security Task Force. We really need to study what we can do for small business in Wyoming. We talk a lot about economic development. We talk a lot about bringing people to this state. The majority of them are going to be working for small business. Small business as defined by the Small Business Association is 500 employees or less. It takes a lot of employees to run one of these programs. We need some kind of program besides 501s and Roths and that kind of stuff that small business guys can utilize to help their employees. The employees will invest in their savings if they have some spur from the business that they're running from. And the business that they're running with now just don't have any methodology to invest in any kind of investments for the person's pension or whatever you want to call the retirement funds. So we need to do this and study it and see if we can come up with something. It'll be one of the first in the U.S. to find some way to help small businesses help their small employees. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Senator Anselmi Dalton, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On in support of the bill, I was at a recent conference in December, and some of our neighboring states are looking at this kind of legislation. I was really excited to kind of talk to them and ask them about that. I'm actually more in favor of something like this, where someone with expertise in this area could look at what is happening. We have a silver tsunami coming. People are getting older. The baby boomers are retiring. We need to figure out how to help my employees start saving for tomorrow, because unlike some places that have better plans, as a small employer, so my employees aren't really saving for tomorrow, and I'd like to see something I could do to help them. I'm happy to match funds to try to help them out and do whatever I can.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I've got some questions about this bill, and I've got some significant grave concerns. And I think we all recognize the process of retirees not saving enough. But the first question I really have for the sponsors, when we go to page 4, and you go to line 14, and it talks about participation in a statewide program. It goes down to line 17 and talks about participation. When we talk about a statewide retirement, are we talking about or contemplating a state-run program? Is that what we're talking about here? Because I'm confused. Is this an expansion of the role of government? I mean, history's taught us over and over state-run retirement programs called Social Security get raided by legislators like us. It hasn't worked out very well at the national level, so, you know, I don't trust the state-run program. But I think the thing that jumps out to me the most that just scares the absolute bejesus out of me is if we go to page 5. And if you go to line 3 and line 4, and at the end of that sentence, it says, the state fails to act. And I ask you, is it the proper role of government to act in the case of employee and employer savings plans? Is that the proper role of government? And then it goes on, it says, improve citizens' access to retirement program. I think there's all kinds of access today. I mean, you can do a Roth, you can do all kinds of IRAs available, 5013. There's a jillion savings plans out there already. Again, my concern, this contemplates some role of government coercion to require people to participate in a statewide retirement program. I think the idea, we all understand the need to save. I don't contest the idea that that's something that we maybe ought to contemplate. I just don't think this is ready for prime time. I'm worried that it contemplates a government expansion and coercion to participate in a government requirement or retirement program that's going to be run by the state. Maybe I'm seeing something that's not in here, but I would tell you it gives me grave concern when I see this kind of language come out and charters the task force to start moving this thing forward. So a lot of questions, but at this point in time, on and against the bill.
We are on the bill. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Scott.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first of all, all this does is try to send a task force out there to take a look at what's going on, Mr. Chairman, There wouldn't be any requirement. And all this contemplates is what I referred to in my introduction, which is all of the, there's a lot of creative things going on out there. In the back of my mind, I've looked into the state just south of where the good senator from Evanston lives. They're looking into a public-private partnership that would help their small businesses to leverage programs that small business cannot provide on its own. There is no coercion. This is just an opportunity for us to look at the potential of some programs that we may want to adopt. It's got to come through this legislature, Mr. Chairman. But honestly, if we can help small business, I'm all for it. There's been a lot of times I go home and I get asked by some of my constituents, why can't we be a part of the state group plan, for example? Why can't you help us with insurance of some kind? Well, this is an opportunity for us to maybe find something that might be of value that we could access on behalf of small business so that they could offer some programs they can't now. So I think that maybe that answers a couple of the questions that were posed, but I don't see this as any sort of coercive effort, any sort of state-run anything. The state might want to enter into a state-private partnership of some kind, but that's what we're up to, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Senator Scott and then Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, the top of page 5 is cited, the financial impact of the state social safety net programs and general fund if the state fails to act to improve citizen access retirement savings, their place of employment. Mr. Chairman, I think that is a bit awkwardly worded. Because I think it's more than the state failing to act. If something doesn't get done about the problem in general, the impact on our Medicaid program, which is the way the average American goes to the nursing home, is going to grow and grow and grow. So there's real money, state money at stake here, and the state is right to be concerned about it. But it's more in the state failure to act. It's really if insufficient savings for retirement are made. And, Mr. Chairman, this is a very real issue. And I think the criticism I would have of the legislation, I think I'm probably going to wind up voting for it. But the criticism I would have is from what I've seen. Number one, it is true that for small businesses, particularly the smaller ones, the things like the 401ks, the federal government has made them so complicated that until you get up over 50 employees and can afford a human resources department, you better not do it. You can't do it and comply with all those regulations and get it done right. We looked at it for our business and found the only option that made any sense us was contributing to what's called a SEP IRA. And that's helpful, but it doesn't solve the problem. The second point, I think, and a real deficiency, I think, I would see in the bill, is I think there needs to be more emphasis on the problem of how do you persuade employees to participate in a plan. Because I've seen some small businesses that had very generous 401ks that the employer matched, and getting the employees to contribute their share as opposed to spending it right now is a difficult proposition. And that needs some careful work, Mr. Chairman, because people, I think, just automatically think that Social Security will take care of them. Mr. Chairman, Social Security right now is good enough to keep you from starving in the streets when you're over 65. But if you don't have another source of income, some savings, it's not much better than that. And if the Congress doesn't get its act together and fix the problems in Social Security, which they seem to be afraid to do because it gets played with politically and used in elections, my understanding is that in not too many years, less than 20 years, I believe, the Social Security payment will go to 70% of what it is now, because the trust fund will run out of money and be just dependent on what's coming in every year and not have anything to rely on. So it's a very real problem. Social Security is going to be even more inadequate than it is right now. And it never was intended to be more than a bare-bones safety net. So we need to persuade people to participate in the programs that are offered. And how do you do that? That's a complicated issue, Mr. Chairman. This bill going down that road, but I'm not sure it's fully properly directed at what I think the real problem is, which is persuading people to take advantage of the opportunities they do have, and that's a sales job, because it has to be voluntary participation.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hastert.
I am very concerned that our bill scares the bejesus out of that senator from Bags down there. I can see him with that bump in the night jumping out of bed and worrying about this. The paragraphs that he identifies on page 4, lines 13 through 19, I think we need to take the whole paragraph into consideration. As paragraph D says, the task force shall identify, study, and make recommendations concerning little I, little double I, little triple I, IV, and then on to his paragraph 5 and paragraph 6, which is part of the study. It's a study the cost to employers for participation and study the effects of implementing. It is not setting up any statewide or state program. It is looking at the possibilities of what that would be and how it could be put together. It is not the state putting together programs. It is the small employers putting together programs. So I think he doesn't need to worry about that one and have that one scare the bejesus out of him. Then on to that financial impact one that Senator from Bates Creek's talking about. I think when you read the whole paragraph on page 5, line 2 through 6, it kind of explains that a little better, too. It fails to act to improve citizen access is just a portion of that sentence. So I don't think there's any reason to be afraid yet.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's on the bill, and I ended up not feeling comfortable with it once I heard the testimony in committee. And there was some concerns that were raised. And, you know, I'm concerned why the retirement system isn't involved in this. And the retirement system has programs already today to help out with that. You know, you're going to end up, you know, you're talking about people that are working minimum wage sometimes or a lot of times and have very little to no fluid resources. And I think helping people and wanting to encourage them to invest in retirement is a fantastic thing, and I'm all for that. And you're telling people that are working two or three jobs that, you know, that they need to invest in their retirement. Well, they know that. And, you know, having the resources, or maybe you want, you know, convincing them that that's something they need and that they certainly should do and need to do. And, you know, I know some people near and dear to me right now that I wish, you know, would invest in retirement, don't live in this state. But, you know, I just am concerned about the retirement system and not being involved. And they have expertise in this, and they have programs available. So I just have concerns.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just real quick, and the only one question that keeps coming back in my mind is we have a lot of small business associations and memberships and organizations around the state and the nation. What's the barrier for them to do this and come back and make a recommendation? So I'm just curious as if they have the capacity to do what's contemplated in the bill, and if they don't, what is the barrier?
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with favorable recommendation, that Senate File 116 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. The vote is 19-9. Senate File 112 has passed Committee of the Whole. 116, I'm sorry.
Senate File 116.
Senate File 116. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Oh, we're ready to go.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Floor Leader. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion carried.
Motion carried.
Just stick around because we're right back in if you want.
You got to move it.
Please read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 15, do pass amended. Senate File 22, do pass amended. Senate File 40, do pass amended. Senate File 41, do pass amended. Senate File 42, do pass amended. Senate File 55, do pass. Senate File 60, do pass. Senate File 69, do pass. Senate File 80, do pass amended. Senate File 112, do pass amended. Senate File 116, do pass amended. Senator Wasserberger, Chairman.
Senator Wasserberger.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That report has been adopted. Reports from standing committees.
February 20, 2018, Mr. Presidential Committee Number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 62, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman. February 20, 2018, Mr. Presidential Committee Number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 64, Appropriation to State Engineer, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. No, Senator Burns. Senator Burns, Chairman. February 20, 2018, Mr. President, Committee Number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 95, Medicare Discrimination, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman. February 20, 2018, Mr. President, Committee Number 3, to whom was referred Senate File 49, Disposition of State School Land Revenue, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Kinsky, Peterson, and Wasserberger. Senator Peterson, Chairman. February 20, 2018, Mr. Presidential Committee Number 3, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 3, School Capital Construction Constitutional Amendment, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Kinsky, and Peterson. Noes, Senators Ellis and Wasserberger. Senator Peterson, Chairman. February 20, 2018, Mr. President, or Committee Number 12, to whom was referred Senate File 119, Workforce Development Priority Economic Sector Program, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Bebout, Chairman. Mr. President, February 20, 2018, your Committee Number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 78, Opioid Addiction Task Force, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
100, I believe. Yeah, just check with him, see what it is. Just do it right there, Michael. Michael, just do it right there. Mr. Vice President.
Yes, Mr. President. Senate File 119, Workforce Development Priority Economic Sector Program, does have an appropriation. I ask that you re-refer it to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, so noted.
Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, with that order of business, continuation of discussion of the budget bill, do you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. President, move that the committee, the Senate resolve itself back in the Committee of the Whole for continued consideration of Senate File 1.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. I'm reminding the senators that you have till 5 o'clock today to turn in any amendments that you want for second reading. Senator Wasserberger.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. We are on Senate File 1, the budget bill. I believe the next section for our consideration is Section 069. Is that correct, Senator Burns?
No, 067.
067. Okay, I stand
unless
corrected.
Unless you do not want to fund the university.
Well. The next section for our consideration is 067, the University of Wyoming. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Section 67, University of Wyoming. For further discussion on this section, I ask that you call on Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Section 67, the University of Wyoming, is page 31 on your summary sheet, page 43 on your bill. Mr. Chairman, the budget before you from your JAC represents about a $1 million reduction to the governor's recommendations. That is primarily reflected in the retiree health insurance cut that we have referenced all throughout the budget. Fellow senators, I would call your attention to a couple of footnotes in your summary sheet. The JAC authorized the borrowing of money and further directed the spending of reserve amounts for the research aircraft at the university. The second item of note, footnote 7, requires the university to pay for the benefits of 4-H educators. That's our extension agents, if you will, for another year. You will find the narrative related to that decision on the bottom of page 45 in your budget bill. Footnote 8 relates to an opportunity for the university to partner with a private entity for work and carbon engineering research. And the JAC essentially adopted the remainder of the governor's recommendations. Mr. Chairman, you remember that this is an agency that took a pretty drastic reduction in budget over the past couple of years. This year, not quite so much so. But if there are no more questions, Mr. Chairman, that concludes the explanation of Section 67, University of Wyoming.
Are you ready for the question?
No.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, real quick question. The funding for the university's family practice residency centers and the WAMI program, are they in this budget or are they elsewhere in this budget bill?
Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could we have a little more explanation on footnote 4? What's going on with these 4-H agents throughout the state and how they arrived at the decision they did?
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I'll respond to the 4-H. I was the one behind that, Senator Moniz. The university had, after a longstanding tradition of funding all the health and benefits and the other benefits for the 4-H agents, statewide had removed that funding and left the cost back upon the counties for their portion of it. Some of the counties, it actually caused one of them to come pretty close to losing their agent, may have caused more of them. So we actually restored it for 1 year, gave them a chance to come back and talk about how we keep our 4-H program intact out inside the counties. That's been a major outreach to UW's for their rural communities has been these 4-H programs, and we're trying to keep them solid.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question, I'm not new, but I still am within warranty, so I'm curious. I hear that the university has a block grant, that we block grant them, and then they do what they will with the monies. And as I go through here, I see $57,000 for computers and $359 for support of land asset management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all these line items that we're giving them. Is that over and above their block grant? And if we're giving them these line items, doesn't that frustrate the intent of having the block grant entirely, or do I not even understand the whole block grant concept with UW, which the last one being most likely? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are you ready for the question?
No.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was trying to get some information, but I'd like to have a little discussion about the University of Wyoming, and there's a number out there of funds that were discovered by, we put in a sophisticated computer system, an accounting system to try to help them along. Good idea. We paid for part of it. They certainly paid for part of it as well. They understand the importance of it. But that number, and I've got some information that shows that $124 or $5 million. I've heard that number might be as high as $138 million. And I also understand that the Board of Trustees has taken a further step to allocate that and spend it as they want to as a member of the board. My question is, we need to have some discussion about that. You know, where that money comes from, is it more from the endowment side of it, or is it from our block grant, or a combination of both? That's a lot of money. You know, we all talk about reserves. We're very critical, as we should be. We look at K-12, a lot of reserves out there. We just need to have some discussion. So maybe the question, Mr. Chairman, of the appropriations members in the Senate is, did you bring that up? Did you talk about it? What about the allocation of how the Board of Trustees wants to do that money? As I understand it, $40 million goes to future projects. I'm not sure what that means. $50 million goes to an operating account to cover cash flow. That makes sense, but there's a lot of other areas in there they do that. I think we should have some discussion. It's a lot of money. We give the university over $400 million. $120 million seems like a rather large amount.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, in answer to my fellow senator, my delegation from Sheridan and Johnson County, yes, there is. It is indeed a block grant, but then the university is quite adept at coming back and asking for more for specific items. And that's what you see these other line items involved, such as the School of Energy Resources and the Tier 1 Engineering and the NCAR MOU. Those are usually expenses over and above the regular running of the university. They usually come every year, and quite often those expenses are sometimes one time, sometimes they're mainstreamed back into the block grant. The block grant grows by that much. As to the president's question, to the best of my understanding, is sometime last year in the university's attempt, and we actually lost one of our fiscal people, one of our better fiscal people, over to the university, and we have spent millions of dollars trying to help him to upgrade their accounting system so that they have one unified accounting system. Apparently they didn't, that wasn't the case, which was a surprise to me. So one of the results of this, they went through a number of their different accounts and found and swept out the money that was left over in a number of those accounts or hadn't been spent yet, and centralized that. And the actual figure was $138 million. Now, their argument is that this is not found money. This is money that was already dedicated to a particular purpose. But the Board of Trustees turned around and reallocated it. They put $50 million into an operating reserve. They put, I believe it was $38 or $40 million into a something that spelled that the acronym of happens to be SIPA, which I found amusing, and apparently nobody else here does. And they put, and then they put into things. A lot of them probably needed. I think they have a risk pool that they put a number of millions of dollars into. So there is an ongoing, I think, between us and the university at this point, something of an ongoing argument about whether this is found money, whether this is money that was already allocated to them and therefore should not be reallocated by us. I think that the truth probably lies somewhere in between, between the two. So that's, as far as I know, that's where things are at. Oh, and the answer to the senator from Bates Creek, he asked about Wichee and Whammy. Those are not included in this budget. As a matter of fact, Wichee is the next item up.
Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to add to that, a few more of the items. There's $14 million to create a residence hall account. There's over $7 million for an endowment strictly for recruitment, bonus, and retention. The special projects that the chairman spoke about, I think it's $30 to $40 million. You know, they need to work on an airplane. They have $1 million sinking fund, probably a good idea. Then there's a litigation fund of $5 million. Anyway, Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of funding there. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of discussion about funding capital projects, particularly at the university. A lot of good projects, no question about it. But, you know, as we look at capital for construction for schools, the state, the demands, revenue shortfalls, you know, we ought to have some discussion about maybe utilizing some of this money for some of these projects they think are so important.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add one more point to the chairman of JAC's discussion. Since the time when the funds were identified, a pretty significant portion of that, and I'll get the amount, was actually returned back to the departments, and the trustees had determined that they had swept funds that were wildly inappropriate to sweep because they were being utilized for research, for example, and they were in accounts that were not appropriate for sweeping. So I'll try and find out the exact number of that and get back to the floor. The other thing I would say is that, again, a lot of the funds were encumbered or for previous purposes. They were travel funds. They were associated with funds that were earned separately or through service along those lines. So regrettably, it was not a giant pool of money. Had it been a giant pool of money, that would have been incredibly convenient, and I suspect the university would not have had to make as many cuts as they had made, cutting over 350 employees of the university over the last couple of years. That choice would not have been made if there had been a giant pool of money sitting around. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The good senator from over the hill actually touched on a couple of things I was going to bring up. I agree with the president. I think any of the funding in an institution of that size that is identified as the way it has been, it certainly there's a lot of conversation. And we spent actually quite a bit of time last night on that very topic. And the testimony that we received, Mr. Chairman, was that some of that funding, and it is $138 million, they gathered up, I believe, over 600 or 800 different small accounts from throughout the university and wound up with $138 million, I think, and identified it into the pools that were referenced by the president. But at least $3 or $4 million last night was identified as ironically belonging to the medical education programs, and they had swept that money in and now realize that they really cannot sweep that money. It's having to go back out to those agencies as the good senator pointed out. So everything's still shaking down over there, and we certainly, to answer the president's question, we have had quite a bit of conversation about these funds, and I think it's appropriate that we continue to have those conversations going forward. Thank you.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, a question for the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. Is it possible that we could get access to that information that was shared on that $138 million and what accounts those went into and how much is in each one of those that he referenced earlier? Is that information available?
Senator
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, that information is available. It was given to us, but I don't have it at my fingertips right now. I can probably dig it out and give it to the good senator from Bags here sometime in the near future.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I caution the body to trying to reappropriate or use that $138 million that was discovered during the audit process at UW. I think we probably should keep our hands off of it from my perspective. I think UW has done some things that we didn't have the guts to do as a state, and one of them is their early retirement program, where they fired people, they didn't hire them back to get their house in order. And they're doing a good job over there. The only thing that I would say as far as in audits or whatever that we might want to conduct is that they are a land-grant university. And some of those funds, if they're federal funds, they have to be spent in a specific way. And to the extent that that we can offer some help in determining not whether or not those are federal funds and should be spent as in the way that they should be spent, I think that's appropriate. But outside of that, Mr. Chairman, they've gone out the door. They more likely than not have been appropriated over there or taken in on federal funds or other revenue streams. And, you know, they did a good job finding them. I wish we could find $138 million. If we were doing a better job, maybe we would find another $138 million someplace. So the university, I think, has done a good job. Their administration has done a good job. And I hope we keep our hands off their fruits of their labor.
Senator Bebop.
Yes.
Any further discussion on Section 067, University of Wyoming?
Hands off. Hands off.
Senator Burns.
It's theirs. You want it? I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I didn't hear what you had to say.
I said, are there any further questions on Section 067, University of Wyoming?
No, Mr. Chairman, unless there are any other questions, I would ask that you close this section.
Hearing no further questions, Section 067 is closed. The next section for our explanation is Section 069, Wichee. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Section 69, Wichee. I ask that you call for further explanation on Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Section 67, your Western Interstate Commission on Higher Education is on page 31 of your summary sheet. And, Mr. Chairman, after a $460,000 cut a year ago, this budget stayed pretty much the same, other than the governor's rec of $29,000 for dues to the coordinating compact of states that the university belongs to. The JAC agreed with that. I'd be glad to answer any questions, but this is the opportunity that we provide for our students to receive reduced tuition at other states. Mr. Chairman, I'll stop right there. We may have some questions. Thank you.
Senator Landon, excuse me.
Would you move it as 69?
Mr. Chairman, would you please move? We are no longer, I think, moving these sections, but I am referencing Section 69, Western Interstate Commission, and I apologize if I said 67. Thank you, Senator. That's really about it, Mr. Chairman. You know, this is a program that supports our students who go elsewhere, and then we provide a like reduction in tuition for students from other states. Thank you. If there are no questions, Mr. Chairman, that is Section 69, Wichee. Thank you.
Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, I'd rise to ask that we support the Wichee program. Many of the students that I know in Wyoming and professional schools have taken advantage of this. When I received a Wichee scholarship, it paid my whole tuition. The only caveat to that was I had to come back and live in Wyoming for 6 years. A lot of these people, that's where they're going to come anyway. Okay, so it really, really helps these students. When you figure that the optometry school's tuition right now is about $35,000 a year, by the time they do 4 years here, they're way in debt. This WICHE program really helps them. Also, the WICHE program, we are privileged to go once a year, and they tell us a lot about what's happening with secondary education. Their programs are really great. The things that they have for us to learn there are worthwhile, and so I would ask you to support this part of the budget.
Any further discussion of Section 069, WICHE? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that you close WICHE.
Hearing no further questions, Section 069 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 070.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Section 70, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission. For further explanation, I ask that you call on Senator Landon again.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, good to see you. I'd like to visit with you, Mr. Chairman, about Section 70, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission. That is on page 32 of your summary sheet, 46 in your budget bill. Mr. Chairman, this is an agency in which the governor recommended a $46,000 cut. The JAC agreed with that. That is a cut that was one of those across-the-board reductions that we mandated in 2017 session law. Mr. Chairman, real quickly, that is, you might recall that they have gone to a little bit different model, and that operation has moved up to my neck of the woods in the center part of the state. It took a rather hefty reduction last year, but it's virtually about the same this year, and that is Section 70, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission.
Are there any further questions on Section 070? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that you close Section 70.
Hearing no further questions, Section 070 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 072, Retirement Center System. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, for Section 72, Retirement System, I ask that you call on Senator Hastert.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and member of the Senate. Section 072, Retirement System, on page 32 of the summary sheet, page 47 of the budget. And the only thing we really did here is that you'll see the in notes 1 and 5 on the summary sheet are the insurance, health insurance contribution reductions. And then in note 2, 3 and 4 are all related to computers and software. $729,000 for software enhancements. In line 2, 3 is $60,000 for website management enhancements, and then $86,000 on note 4 for computer equipment, software, and maintenance. And then note that $50,694 is one-time money, and that's it for retirement system.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little discussion about the investment managers within the retirement system. I know we talked about that with our state treasurer, and we, in fact, had in our last supplemental budget where we're sending money in there to try to do more in-house and save. And I know in the budget we went from like $55 million maybe down to $45 million for the investment managers. What's the level that we do with our retirement system and what we pay outside consultants to tell us what to do with our investments? You know, it would be a large brokerage firm or whatever. And was there any discussion about, you know, the dissimilarity we had with the state treasurer and how we might do a better job not spending so much in fees, even if we went to index funds or something? I know the mission is different for the retirement system, but it seems to me that we're spending a lot of money there just like we did with the state treasurer on consulting people.
There was no discussion along those lines, and frankly, I think the reason's understandable. We're kind of doing the experiment with the state treasurer's office to see how this works out with doing the investments in-house. If that works out, then I think the retirement system could well be in line to be next.
And, Mr. Chairman, to the good president's questions, I think that I'd need to reference the unit section book in order to find out about the consultants. And we did have that, but it's really hard to remember individual agency or units on the amount of work that we did. We can get that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, there is a bill that's out there on the other side that seeks to get both of those the retirement and the treasurer's office together and get the synergies that are between those investment teams. Retirement has a robust investment team, and so I think that as that bill moves through, we'll have some really good discussion on that.
Yes, it's an appropriation bill, not my bill.
Is there any further discussion on 072, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I ask that you close Section 72 retirement system.
Hearing no further questions, Section 072 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 077. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Section 77, Enterprise Technology Services. For a fuller explanation on it, I ask that you call on Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Section 77, Enterprise Technology Services, is on page 33, summary sheet, and page 46 in your budget bill. Mr. Chairman, I'll give a 30,000-foot view of this rather large agency, although I do have and can spend as much time as you'd like going through all of the software and hardware and maintenance contracts that are involved with this agency. Mr. Chairman, your JAC essentially went along with the governor's recommendations, including the elimination of four positions, several transfers of positions that you'll see in your footnotes, and ultimately the overall reduction to this agency is $181,000. JAC further amended and added these directives. On footnote one, you'll see that we require that ETS works with the Wyoming Department of Education to study the benefits of bulk purchasing of computers. Footnote three accepted the governor's request for cybersecurity monies. I bring that up because you might recall, fellow senators, the emphasis that the governor put on that particular line item in his State of the State address. We were moved to add those monies after considerable testimony in front of the Appropriations Committee. Footnote 23 relates to the agency's ask for equipment upgrade monies for the Unified Network. The Unified Network, Mr. Chairman, as you know well, serves our schools out across the state. The bulk of this budget reflects a desire on the part of the agency to address aging equipment and to ensure that new equipment will be there as the install of new network circuitry is accomplished. Some of that ask is from the school foundation budget because of that unified network. Mr. Chairman, this is the agency that brought forth many of the line items in the agency budgets that we've seen already. They are the ones responsible for the replacement and recommendations as to computers and hardware and systems. And so that's a quick and dirty overview of the Enterprise Technology Services. We can drill down as deeply as you would like. But if there are no more questions, that's Section 77, Enterprise Technology Services.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that, barring any further questions, I ask that you close Section 77, Enterprise Technology Services.
Hearing no further questions, Section 077 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 080, Department of Corrections. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Section 80, Department of Corrections, for further explanation, I ask that you call on Senator Driscoll.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring to you Section 80, Department of Corrections, page 35 of the summary book, page 49 of the budget. We've got the standard ones that I won't review. Footnote number one requires a quarterly report of the amount spent from $2 million general fund authorized for reappropriation from 17-18 funds. This brings the reversions and keeps them back. Footnote 3 is $399,424 general fund for residential substance abuse for treatment to Honor Farm. That's pretty self-explanatory what it does and why it's there. 4 is governor's letter number 12 to make $3 million of the tobacco funds effective immediately. And added footnote 2, it also involves footnote 3, which is $200,000 tobacco funds one time. This just stops reversion of those tobacco funds to go back and make them usable by the prisons. Footnote 16 will drop down and is footnote 4 that allows the agency to transfer funds to the facility management unit for contract trades. And this is for the work that's happening on the prison now to get it where it's more functional. And with that, I'd stand for questions on anything on corrections.
Any further discussion on section 080? Senator Burns. Any further discussion on section 080?
Mr. Chairman, I ask that you close section 80, Department of Corrections.
Hearing no further questions, section 080 is closed. The next section for explanation is section 101.
Mr. Chairman, I've got section 81.
The next
Board of Parole
for our consideration is 081. Senator Burns.
And, Mr. Chairman, for that, I ask that you call on Senator Driscoll again.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Groundhog Day again for a few of these. Bring you Section 81, Board of Parole, page 36 on the summary sheet, page 51 of the budget. Standard deduction is all. With that, I'd stand for questions.
Any further discussion of Section 081? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that you close Section 81, Board of Parole.
Hearing no further questions, Section 081 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 085, Wyoming Business Council. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, for Section 85, Wyoming Business Council, I ask that you call on Senator Driscoll again.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you Section 85, Wyoming Business Council, page 36 of the summary, page 51 of the budget. The only thing there is there, once again, is the retiree health insurance contribution. I'd stand if there's any questions.
Any further questions on Section 085? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that you close Section 85.
Hearing no further questions, Section 085 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 101. Supreme Court, Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Section 101, Supreme Court, what we basically did was the only new amendments in there went with that retiree health insurance contribution that you see throughout, and everything else, we adopted the court's recommendation. It's mostly computer work, computer money one time, and computer maintenance. And unless there are any further questions, I would ask that you close Section 101.
Hearing no further questions, Section 101 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 103, Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics.
Mr. Chairman, I have Section 102, which is Board of Law Examiners.
I'm sorry. The next section for our consideration is Section 102. Board of Law Examiners, Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, the JAC adopted, Section 102, Board of Law Examiners. JAC adopted the court's rec of $61,250 in special revenue for costs associated with the bar admissions. And that was all we did. And if there are no further questions, I ask that you close Section 102.
Hearing no further questions, Section 102 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 103, Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Section 103, Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics, the only thing we did there was the amendment dealing with the health insurance contributions. And if there are no further questions, I ask that you close it.
Hearing no further questions, Section 103 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 122. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I've got Section 120.
Senator Burns, the next section for our consideration is 120. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that you that we deal with all the judicial districts, so it would be 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, 127, 128, 129, 130, 131, 133, 134, 135, 136, 137, 138, 139, 140, 141, 142, and 142, and in every and all those, the only change was the amendment dealing with the health insurance contribution. And unless there are any questions, I would ask that you close all those.
Hearing no further questions, the sections of, if I can get them all.
Mr. Chairman, it's 120 through 142, except for 132,
that's
section
it.
9A, which we'll deal with separately.
Okay. Hearing no further questions, sections 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, 127, 128, 129, 130, 131, 133, 134, 135, 136, 137, 138, 139, and 140. 141, 142 are closed. The next section for our consideration would be section 132, Judicial District 9A, Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, section 132, Judicial District 9A, we've got something of a semi-unique situation up there, where the state pays for half of a part-time position and the county pays for the other half. The county has, I guess, been reluctant to pay for their second half. So the amendment we put in there is we will only pay our half if the county ponies up their half too. And unless there are any questions, I would ask that you close section 132.
Hearing no further questions, section 132, Judicial District 9A is closed. The next section for explanation is section 151, District Attorney, Judicial District Number 1. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, for section 151, District Attorney, Judicial District 1, I ask that you call on Senator Dockstader.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 50 of your summary sheet, section 151, we had four positions in there that, as far as what JEC did, I'll go over those points that JEC worked with. We had four positions that were B11 in the past. These are funds that were used for drug-related cases. In what we did is said in the case of if those federal funds become available, those positions can become permanent. That's contingent on those federal funds. We did the regular retiree health insurance contribution, did the reduction there, and then we had two positions that was requested in the Gov's Rec, and JEC said no on those. So that's with, unless there's further questions, that concludes explanation of section 151.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I ask, without any, no further questions, I ask that you close section 151.
Hearing no further questions, section 151 is closed. The next section for explanation is section 157, District Attorney, Judicial District Number 7. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, for section 157, District Attorney, Judicial District 7, I ask again that you call on Senator Dockstader.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Page 50, 157, it's the usual retiree health insurance reductions and then the other governor's recommendations we left alone as far as software, computer equipment, phone charges, and so forth. With that, if there's no further questions, that concludes section 157.
Mr. Chairman, if there are no further questions, I'd ask that you close Section 157.
Hearing no further questions, Section 157 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 160, County and Prosecuting Attorneys. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Section 160, County and Prosecuting Attorneys. For further explanation, I ask that you call on Senator Dockstader.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Page 51, Section 160. JEC didn't make any changes, went with the 2017 session laws, and that included a reduction of $51 million as in accordance with the governor's rec. No further questions. That concludes explanation of 160.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that you close Section 160, County and Prosecuting Attorneys.
Hearing no further questions, Section 160, County and Prosecuting Attorneys, is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 167, UW Medical Education. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Section 167, UW Medical Education, I'd ask that you call in Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, good to be back before you. Section 167 is your UW Medical Education agency. Page 51 on your summary sheet, page 64 in your budget bill. Mr. Chairman, the fundamental purpose of the family medical residency program is to educate family medicine physicians residents through direct patient care. The sites provide clinical training for doctors and incidentally serve as a valuable safety net for the low-income populations in our two biggest towns. Those sites are located in Casper and Cheyenne. Two other significant portions of this budget are the WAMI program, which everyone is pretty well aware of, Mr. Chairman, sends our students to medical school in the state of Washington, and the dentistry program, WIDENT, through which we send students to Creighton and Nebraska Lincoln. There's a lot going on in this budget, Mr. Chairman, but the overarching is a reorganization at the University of Wyoming in terms of administration to oversee all of these medical programs. You will see that reflected in the footnotes throughout, along with the added spending authority to pay for the required additional year that students will now be spending at the University of Wyoming before they transfer to the University of Washington Medical School. There is spending authority for money generated by the residency program's pharmacies. Footnote 1 allows some of that flex authority for personnel services, and that, by the way, is a footnote that has been in our budget bill for quite some time. That allows for the contract services for healthcare providers as they come and go. I would call attention to footnote 16. That outlines the need for that additional year of medical education in Laramie that I referred to. Speaking of those residency programs, fellow senators, Casper's family practice operation is doing very well up north, and much of the special revenue, the SR that you see beside some of those transfers of fundings, you will see identified in the footnotes, has been generated by that clinic and the pharmacy up there. The Cheyenne operation has not been quite so successful, and for a number of reasons we could go into. You will see that that later in the budget bill, Mr. Chairman, your JAC has offered to you the recommendation that we establish a task force to look into these family practice residency programs. Mr. Chairman, that's a quick look at a complicated budget. Be glad to drill down further, but if there are no questions, that's Section 167, UW Medical Education.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question. Years ago when we set these up, there was a federal laws that were out there, and we missed a boat in terms of timing, and we've been trying to work with our delegation to get that reinstituted, which means that there'll be federal assistance in these family practice units. What's the status of that? Have we made any progress? Or is it still something that we just missed the opportunity?
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, that's a great question by the President. And the answer is yes, we have made some tremendous progress. A year ago, those residency programs were provided with federally qualified health center status. And what that does, Mr. Chairman, it allows for, among other things, the opportunity to run a pharmacy and to purchase drugs at a lower cost
and then be able to sell those drugs at a higher cost. And that's where you see that special revenue that residency program, particularly up in Casper, is beginning to generate substantial amounts of special revenue. Some of that special revenue, by the way, is being captured, first of all, on one of the line items. You'll see $1 million that is reduced from the general fund or recaptured for the general fund, and special revenue from Casper will go in there. The other thing we're using that special funding for is for administrative purposes in the reorganization that I alluded to a little bit earlier. So I hope that helps a little bit.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, seeing no further questions, I ask that you close Section 167.
Hearing no further questions, Section 167 is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 205, Education School Finance. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Section 205, Education School Finance. You know them, you love them, you can't live without them. I ask that you call on Senator Landon again.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, good to see you again. Section 205 is your Education School Finance, fellow senators, page 52 on your summary sheet and page 65 in your budget bill. Mr. Chairman, I would ask that you bear with me on this. I think it's important enough. I want to provide enough detail just for the record and for your understanding. This, fellow senators, is the funding model for your K-12 education system. Your JAC adopted the governor's rec to reduce $18 million based on Craig revenue revisions. The JAC adopted the governor's rec to reduce $51 million for interest payments. The JAC adopted the Gov's rec to increase $1,400,000 for January enrollment updates. That change incorporated our recent enrollment forecasts, and the JAC adopted the governor's rec to reduce $3,375,000 for employer-paid school district employee retirement contributions. The JAC adopted the governor's rec to move over $37 million funding for instructional facilitators and summer school from Division 4500 to 4100. That move reflects House Bill 236 from last year, fellow senators. You remember that we moved instructional facilitators and summer school extended day programs underneath the block grant. JAC, Mr. Chairman, adopted the governor's rec of $2,250,000 for increased court order placements. The JAC adopted the governor's rec to reduce $240,000 to adjust the budget to anticipated national board certifications, a reduction in number there. We will talk a little bit more later this afternoon about that national board certified program. Mr. Chairman, the JAC did make that retiree health insurance reduction. Other than that, thank you for tolerating the detail of what we're doing in that K-12 model. If there are no questions, that's Section 205, Education School Finance.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I read this, this is the second largest budget, second only to the health department budget, in the whole of the state government, and it just includes the state aid pieces. I don't see the federal funds, and I presume, are they because those go directly to the school districts? I know there are some federal funds in education from Title I and things like that. So that's one question. Second question is, just in terms of the mechanics of things, if we should choose to remove some function or reduce it, and actually you've got school facilitators here in a separate footnote, so that's obviously in here. If we were to take something and reduce that amount, does that control or do other statutes control what happens if in the budget we do something less than what this budget calls for?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burns.
In answer to the first question about the federal funds, you'll see that reflected in the next section, Section 206, Department of Education. As to the facilitators, I can get an answer to that in just a moment.
Any further questions on Section 205? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that we would have to change the statutes on model components within the school funding if we were to reduce or eliminate the school facilitators line item.
Senator Scott.
So, Mr. Chairman, we're setting the budget here. Am I to understand that a major portion of our budget is outside our control here as we try to make things balance? It seemed to me we ought to be able to put in a notwithstanding thus and such and reduce the budget for that. And I think that's something that the Senate ought to consider as we proceed to the second and third reading as to it is our duty as the people's elected representatives who can be replaced if we get it wrong, replaced at the next election. Why under the American system of government, funding goes to the elected representatives, it's because we can be replaced, and people can thus retain control over the spending. It seemed to me we need a mechanism in this budget bill to be able to deal with things if we decide we need to.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I absolutely agree with the Chairman of Labor and Health, and as far as control of the mechanism and control of the funding, I think that's been an issue since 1995. When I was about 10 days into my first session. The only other thing I wanted to mention, we'll bring it up in the next section. Unless there are any other questions, I'd ask that you close this section.
Hearing no further discussion, Section 205, Education School Finance, is closed. The next section for explanation is Section 206, Department of Education. Senator Burns. Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, may I approach you to the floor?
Yes, you may.
I don't want to intrude on your authority, Mr. Chairman. It's a little after 4, and the Senate staff probably needs a little bit of a stretch. If we could give them about, at your discretion, you could give them 10 minutes or, roughly to the sound of the gavel again, Hint, hint.
Per Senator Perkins' motion, we will take.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Before you do that, about 10 seconds, further explanation, the senator from Bates Creek on school finance, he said that this is second only to health. It's actually bigger than health because the figure that we see in here is only the state contribution. It's not counting the local funds that are put into education. That's my 10 seconds. I'm ready for break.
Okay, per Senator Perkins' motion, we will take a 15-minute break, and we will return at 4:21. Thank you, Senator Perkins.
We all collect. I don't know. I don't know. There's row marks right there.
I know what he's saying. He's saying, what is it reverting to?